Okay, anyway, but reading now from the other section of the article that we felt was interesting, this is from the San Francisco Examiner for March 1st of this year, and the headline, of course, Sweden's Olof Palme slain. It says, in London, an anonymous caller claimed that a group linked to West German left-wing terrorists had killed Palme. The caller said a group called the Holger Mines Kommando, which has links with the West German Bader Meinhof and Red Army urban guerrilla organization, carried out the assassination on a Stockholm street Saturday night. The caller, speaking English with a Northern European accent, refused to give any reason for the attack. Again, now, since then, subsequent to then, as we're going to discuss in a moment, there has been an arrest made, and the person who's been arrested has absolutely nothing to do whatsoever with the Holger Mines Kommando or the West German Bader Meinhof or Red Army or organizations. However, as we have noted before, as we noted at some length of the Kennedy assassination coverage, it is inevitable that when somebody is killed, and again, usually a left-of-center politician is killed, that immediately we are told that he was killed for some reason by a leftist assassin. Now, again, the simple logic of this doesn't wash, but that doesn't matter because, as one of our callers mentioned on One Step Beyond the other night, the big lie theory goes into effect. We're told it often enough, and we're told over and over again to the point where people begin actually to believe the story, that even though there's no conceivable reason why Lee Harvey Oswald would shoot John F. Kennedy if he was in fact pro-Cuba, because Kennedy was the president most likely to improve relations with Cuba.
And in fact, at the time of Kennedy's assassination, he had a French journalist named Henri Daniel in Havana trying to normalize relations with Castro. We talked about that on Radio Free America number 12.
And despite the fact that Olof Palme was the politician in Europe most sympathetic to leftist causes and most potent in his pursuit of advancing the causes of a form of relative socialism and world peace and things like that supposedly dear to the left, again, we're asked to believe that the left, again, have been the people who have assassinated Palme.
Now, it's worth noting, too, that a couple of aspects of the Palme case we're not going to read here on the air, but two Yugoslavian nationals were arrested in Denmark with a check for a little under $10,000 in Swedish currency. One of them was from West Germany and another one from Los Angeles. There are strong Ustashi links to Los Angeles as well as West Germany. It remains to be seen whether that was truly as innocent a connection as the authorities made out. Anyway, an arrest has been made in the Palme case. Article about that appeared in the San Francisco Chronicle of Friday, March 14, 1986. An AP story out of Stockholm, it's headlined, Palme Murder Suspect Held. Police announced yesterday the first arrest in the murder of Prime Minister Olof Palme. His attorneys described the man as an anti-communist Swede, about 35, with no record of crime or violence. He was arrested on Wednesday. Meanwhile, a neo-Nazi group called the European National Socialist Union claimed responsibility for the killing and said former West German Chancellor Willy Brandt will be next, unquote. Palme, 59, was killed February 28th while walking home from a movie with his wife, Lisbeth. So perhaps these Nazi connections, the anti-communist Swede and the European National Socialist Union, will indeed turn out to be the culprits. Of course, when credit is taken publicly by various groups, then it's a dubious situation, but all signs in the Palme killing do point to the Ustashi and quite possibly to Ustashi affiliated with WACL and the CAL in particular.
And last I heard now that the man who has been arrested at this point by the Swedish police is a man, I believe, in his 30s, a fundamentalist right-wing Swede with whose apartment was found to contain a variety of extremist anti-communist literature. As I mentioned on the last time that this came up, which I believe was on One Step Beyond, and this is purely speculation on my part, but I would not be at all surprised to find that this man, the Swede who has been captured, was in fact some kind of an internal connection for some sort of out of some extra-national assassination forces, perhaps the person doing legwork for them, perhaps the person who was going to get them in and out of the country safely. Again, I don't know. We may be told that this guy was another lone nut. At least for once, it looks like we may be told he was a lone right-wing nut, which, of course, it would be difficult, as we mentioned before, for them to contend anything otherwise, with Olof Palme by far the farthest left of center of any European politician at this point.
It's also worth noting that the murder weapon was, well, the bullets were .357 Magnum, which is an extremely unusual caliber in Europe, extremely unusual in Sweden, not at all unusual in the United States.
That's right. Again, also, just to track some of these things through and to go back through the course of the show and kind of bring some of this stuff back together again, because it has been a show particularly full of names, although, of course, all of our Radio Free Americas tend to be. But, of course, these last five or six shows that we've been doing on the Aryan Nations and the World Anti-Communist League, because we have been talking about coalitions of organizations. We have been absolutely nuts with names. But just to run down real quickly and to give you a large overview of what we were doing before we wrap up for tonight, we started out talking again about the formation of the World Anti-Communist League's Latin American branches. Specifically, in this case, we were talking about the formation of the Latin American death squads and the fact that these organizations sprung out of the 1954 CIA coup that overthrew Guatemala's legitimate and democratically elected Arbenz government. At the same time, several other strands grew out of that. The Kuomintang, the KMT, Chiang Kai-shek's secret police, and their ties to the World Anti-Communist League come into it. Now, they are also very involved in the Asian activities of the World Anti-Communist League, including the origins of the John Birch Society and General MacArthur's staff. On the American angle, though, coming out of the 1954 Arbenz coup, several things. First of all, among them, the precursors of the Bay of Pigs and E. Howard Hunt and other people, Sturgis involved in that, and people like David Ferry, who later crop up in the Kennedy assassination, working again presumably on behalf of the CIA and making mysterious appearances. And David Ferry is, although of course he died when his name began to come up seriously, David Ferry almost undoubtedly involved in the very thick of the Kennedy assassination, a CIA pilot involved in the 1954 Guatemala coup. At the same time, we see the founding of the Latin American death squads in their present-day form and the beginnings of the full-bore Latin American World Anti-Communist League that still carries over to this day and which the Reagan administration is currently exploiting heavily to prosecute their war in Latin America against the Contras. And so we talked about that. We then traced the actual hand guiding the strings of the death squad puppets, I guess, to wax a little bit metaphoric at this late hour of the evening, according to a series of Jack Anderson columns, to a university in Guadalajara, the Autonomous University of Guadalajara, which university is dominated by an extreme right-wing, almost psychotic group of anti-Semites, racists, and neo-Nazis called Los Tecos, who appear not only to be participating in Latin American death squad activities, but heavy psychological warfare.
Also a group, this Los Tecos group, got started in 1935, was directly affiliated with the Third Reich, and the Autonomous University, heavily subsidized by the State Department and U.S. intelligence.
And in fact, heavily subsidized by the State Department and U.S. intelligence, at the same time as some of the other Guatemalan operations are beginning to come to fruition, such as the formation of the Bay of Pigs team and the formation of the teams eventually that apparently assassinated John F. Kennedy. So all of this was coming together starting in the 1930s, of course, with the foundation of Nazism, but then coming back together in 1954 in Guatemala and bearing their flower in the early 1960s. So we looked at that. We looked at the involvement of Los Tecos in the probable assassination of a respected Mexican journalist by the name of Manuel Buendía, who had talked about Los Tecos' ties to the CIA and to other groups of that sort. And we talked about Los Tecos' place in the World Anti-Communist League. We also talked about the Autonomous University of Guadalajara and the kinds of things that it does to the people who teach there, American teachers, who admit that they had been forced to become members of Los Tecos. And also we speculated on the possibility that some of the students, like the doctor at Jonestown who administered the poison to the 900-odd people who died there, that he, who got his medical degree at a Mexican university, might in fact have been a graduate of Los Tecos' Death Squads 1A at the Autonomous University in Guadalajara.
Okay, now, following that, and following the look at Larry Schack's possible attendance there, then we reviewed some information about the development of the anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations. Basically, it's a regrouping under the Galen Organization and U.S. and German intelligence of a group of revanchist East Europeans and people who seek to roll back communism and, in many cases, in the case of the more hysterical of that group, they want to actually partition the Soviet Union into some of its member nationalities. Now, that group was very bitterly opposed to Kennedy's policies towards the Soviet Union, not only his refusal to endorse dismembering the Soviet Union, but his move towards detente and his signing of a limited test ban treaty. They despised that. And interestingly enough, when alleged leftist Lee Harvey Oswald, alleged Soviet agent Lee Harvey Oswald, showed up in the United States, he was met by Spaz Rakin of the American Friends of the Anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations. Now, We took a look at how that group was intimately involved with some of the people we talked about in the Aryan Nations, the China Lobby, the people from the MacArthur Group and so forth, people from the John Birch Society, the Hunts and so forth. Recall that Hunt was very close to MacArthur. And we looked at all of their efforts to defeat Kennedy's, what they regarded as pro-Soviet initiatives. We then took a look at the curious death of a key Ukrainian leader named Stefan Bandera. And we took a look at information suggesting possibly, we can't conclude from it, but possibly that Bandera was assassinated as part of a provocation, okay, part of an incident set up to be blamed on your enemies to discredit them. We then took a look at the same World Anti-Communist League elements. Recall that WACL wasn't formally incorporated until 67, but that these steering committees and these component groups were working towards the formation of WACL throughout the late 50s and early 60s, and obviously these same elements are front and center during the assassination of Kennedy. We looked at efforts on the part of this group to link the alleged assassin of Stefan Bandera, an alleged KGB man named Bogdan Stashinsky, to Soviet efforts to train assassins in the United States, and specifically suggesting that Oswald may have been connected to this group. And they began agitating in this direction more than 2 weeks before Kennedy's assassination. We took a look also at the fact that Bunker Hunt was going to put together an assassination squad using cyanide gas guns from Germany, and it appears that just such a gun was used to get rid of Stefan Bandera in Germany. We then took a look at the efforts on the part of a number of people to portray the assassination of Kennedy as a Soviet conspiracy. One of the main names to remember, and by the way, research for that was done by Mae Brussel, and I would strongly urge people who are interested in more of this material to tune in Mae's broadcast Sunday morning at 9, repeated Thursday evening at 9, as Mae uncovered the Isaac Don Levine material for us. One of the key people was a guy named Isaac Don Levine, a former Hearst journalist, the Hearst Press being very pro-fascist, before and during the early part of World War II. Isaac Don Levine was a man who had been working with Marina Oswald and write a book of hers, and Isaac Don Levine was working on a Russian conspiracy angle. As we saw, that's nothing new for Isaac Don Levine, because he had previously worked with a Gestapo agent named Richard Krebs in the United States, putting out an anti-Soviet forgery called Out of the Night, purporting to be the diary of horror, so to speak, of a KGB or a NKVD terrorist, similar in some ways to the handling of Bogdan Stashinsky, the alleged assassin of Stefan Bandera. Isaac Don Levine, in addition to working with Richard Krebs, during that same period was working with Whitaker Chambers and persuaded Whitaker Chambers to testify to Adolf Burley of the State Department. Eventually, that alleged testimony was very damaging to Alger Hiss, the special counsel to the Nye Committee, which was investigating Axis and American industrial connections. Okay, of course, Richard Nixon benefited heavily from that case. Now, Isaac Don Levine is working the Russian conspiracy angle. We then took a look at the Solidarists, and specifically a couple of people named Ilya Mamontov and Igor Voshinin, and the white Russian community in Dallas as a whole. The Solidarists worked very closely with the Asian People's Anti-Communist League and the steering committee, which was to result in WACL, and all of the elements we've talked about over the last six shows, the Aryan Nation shows and the WACL shows. And we took a look at how this group distorted Marina Oswald's testimony in such a way as to make her testimony, her the official version of her awareness of the rifle, credible to the Warren Commission. And, of course, so we looked at George de Morenshield and other people connected with the National Security Establishment in their role in handling Marina. And lastly, of course, we wound up looking at the assassination of Swedish Premier Olof Palme, possibly done by neo-Nazi elements or Stasi elements connected with not only the World Anti-Communist League, but with the CAL, the Latin American affiliate, which, again, was founded by U.S. intelligence and is sustained by U.S. intelligence, and strong connections there, again, with the assassination of President Kennedy.
And that brings this month's Radio Free America to an end.